The story of the Heckscher Foundation is a story that begins, of course, with August Heckscher. A titan of a man who had made a fortune in mining, he also amassed substantial properties in New York City and Florida. In the 1920s, he decided to start a foundation and donated land at 109th Street and 5th Avenue, as well as $3 million. Thus, the Heckscher Foundation for Children was born. But the story of the Heckscher Foundation is also one of the family that gave life to August Heckscher's important vision. That family is my family, the Smadbecks. Arthur Smadbeck, my grandfather, was in his 40s when August Heckscher asked him to help salvage the foundation in the wake of the Depression. He and his wife, Ruth, provided the financial acumen to set the Heckscher Foundation on a path to prosperity. Almost 100 years later, my generation, my cousins and siblings, continue to make sure Heckscher Foundation thrives. Now, before telling the story, we may as well get this out of the way. While to the world the Heckscher Foundation was under the guidance of Arthur and Ruth Smadbeck, to those that knew them, they were Bambi and Dee. That's right, Bambi and Dee.
And this is interesting. Bambi was named by Gail because she couldn't say Grammy, and she was the first grandchild, and it came out as Bambi. And so she was known for the entire time that Gail's been alive as Bambi. And Dee was named by, of all people, my mother, because she didn't want to call him Dad. She had a dad at that time. So she came up with the name Dee, and that stuck, and we all only knew them as Bambi and Dee.
As did the rest of the family. But before they were Bambi and Dee, they were Arthur and Ruth. And it was Arthur who was the one who turned his business skills, a real estate venture with his brother Warren, into the seed that would allow the Heckscher Foundation to flourish.
His business with his brother, which also took place in the 20s prior to the Depression, was very unique. They used to build suburban communities, vacation communities for the middle class. They would design a community of 20 by 100 foot lots. The idea was you could buy a lot, I think, for something like $80. And they did this in Pleasantville, Lincolndale, southern New Jersey, as far as Kentucky and Ohio, as far as I know.
When the Depression hit and August Heckscher fell on hard times, he turned to his friend Arthur Smadbeck.
And my grandfather essentially was someone he turned to right the financial ship of the foundation when it was floundering. At one point in time, the foundation was completely broke, couldn't even pay its staff. Our grandfather came in and basically revamped the foundation's finances.
He was the financial brains behind the business decisions that bought real estate very intelligently, that enabled this foundation to not only to continue to exist, but to have many more resources than we have now.
But the story of the foundation has always been one of Arthur and Ruth, Bambi and Dee. It was Bambi who was the heart and soul of Heckscher, making sure that the important work was being done day in and day out in her own inimitable style. She was, as my cousin Peter puts it,
as at home among a group of homeless kids as at any society function she ever attended. She dressed to the nines with a great deal of costume and fake jewelry, but always looked the part of the grand dame. But she loved to be involved with kids, loved to be around kids, and she had an innate sense of what kids and needy kids in particular needed and wanted. She would go to smell, taste, and feel programs before she would fund them. And of course, she basically operated the foundation building as her own children's home. She had a sewing circle, a basketball league, a jobs training program, a swimming program, and she had a morning radio show, two mornings a week, in which she advised on family matters.
She was the leader of the pack in all senses. When I, as the only granddaughter and the oldest grandchild, would travel with them, my grandmother would be walking 30 paces ahead wherever we were going. My grandfather and I would be hanging back, sort of begrudgingly having to go through a museum, and my grandmother would be forging ahead. And this was really her personality. She was a very dynamic woman.
One of the things about Bambi, or Ruth, as everybody, other people knew her, she was very, very hands-on. So, for instance, periodically she would get requests for shoes for so many kids. And she would go to the shoe store herself and buy the shoes and deliver them to the places that needed the shoes. And the same at Christmas time, one of her pet loves was shopping for toys. And she would take friends and pick out toys.
It wasn't just a toy here and a toy there. She was buying them by the gross from a wholesaler. She'd go down and she'd say, okay, I want 300 of those dolls, and I want 400 of the G.I. Joes, and I want 500 of these, I don't know. And then she would put them in the back of her chauffeur-driven Lincoln herself and drive them around to various child agencies, and they would pick out the toys.
Ruth was quintessential mid-century New York high society. She appreciated the finer things in life, but first and foremost, she was fiercely loyal to her family and her community.
She wasn't austere by any stretch of the imagination. She was very lovely, but she was formal. She was fun-loving, yes, a jokester. She loved theater. She loved dressing beautifully. She loved going out and having a wonderful time. She loved having a scotch at night.
Or two.
Or three.
One day I was visiting them, as we all did, in their apartment. And they were getting ready to go on a trip. I remember going in, my grandfather was in his study, and he was reading. And I asked him, Dee, where are you going? And I'm going overseas. Where are you going? And he looked up and he said, I don't know. Ask your grandmother.
While it was a family affair, it was also serious work with an important mission. In the 1920s, the thrift store at the Heckscher Foundation was bringing in about $200 a week, an amount that was helping the organization to stay just barely afloat. By the time Arthur and Ruth retired, it was endowed with millions.
The growth of the assets from nearly nothing to about $37 million was a function of the deal-making, by and large, of my grandfather on behalf of the foundation. The foundation was always my grandparents' passion, and they believed that this was their calling in life.
It all comes down to the same theme. Our grandmother walking ahead, forging ahead, with the grandfather pulling up the rear and the grandchildren.
As the years passed and the grandchildren became older, the foundation's work would stay in the family. The next generation, our parents, and my generation after that, began to take a larger and larger role.
And they always said, probably to all of us, you're going to be involved in the foundation one day.
You would be allowed sometimes to sit in on a board meeting and sit there quietly and say nothing. But eventually, it was decided that it was time to put the next generation on the board.
And in the same way that Bambi and Dee left their unique mark on the foundation, the current generation of leadership, my brothers Paul and Arthur, my cousin Gail and her brother Peter, serving as chairman, has molded the foundation in our own vision.
Under Pete's leadership, we are returning to the days when the foundation was more healthy and was not only a grant-making organization, but was a service-providing organization. So we are now getting involved in internship and fellowship programs. We're bringing people back into the building, reaching out, being extremely creative in how we're giving money away now. There's an element of taking it to the next level, but it's also an element of bringing it back to what the original operators of the foundation were doing.
And as the organization looks backwards for inspiration from August Heckscher, Arthur and Ruth Smadbeck, and more, it looks forward as well.
It was a year or so ago, maybe a little longer than that, Pete contacted me and he said, you know, I think it's time we bring the next generation on. And I'm very, very impressed so far with the passion and the abilities of this next generation already to help us in the mission. And I'm feeling very, very sanguine about the future of the foundation.
To find out more about the Heckscher Foundation, our history, and the work we do in the community, contact us at heckscherfoundation.org.